This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hey, Ram truck lovers, this is Justin Peoples with Wright Automotive. We will beat any other dealer's deal on a new Ram truck. Wright Automotive is your new Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram truck headquarters. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Here's another pick of the week from Wright Automotive. The Ford Focus gets over 44 miles per gallon. The new Ford Fiesta checks in at 48 miles per gallon. For information on these and other new vehicles, go to WrightAutomotive.com. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. The DTN general opening call for this morning. Corn futures are trading higher on the electronic session as of 6 o'clock. Soybean futures higher, wheat lower. The overnight crude oil market, 31 cents higher at 91.79. The Brent crude, 62 cents higher at 107.76. The June gold contract, 70 cents lower at $1,591.20. The U.S. dollar index, 0.128 lower at 81.164. On the Chicago Board of Trade, Friday, July wheat closed at 695 and a quarter. That was up 37 and a half. September wheat closed at 703, up 33 and a half. December wheat closed at 720, up 31 and a quarter. July corn Friday closed at 635 and a half, up 10 and a half. September corn closed at 546 and a half, up 8. December corn closed at 537, up 8 3/4. July soybeans Friday closed at 1405, down 33. August beans closed at 1381, down 24 1/4. September beans closed at 1327, down 20 1/2. July soybean meal Friday closed at 41790, down 101. August meal closed at 40340, down 69. September meal closed at 386.40, down a half dollar. July soybean oil Friday closed at 50.32, down 40. For August, 50.54, down 40. For September, 50.74, down 40. July oats Friday closed at 3.40. That was up 1 1/2. September oats closed at 3.44 and a half, up 1 1/2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois kinder grain prices were mixed on Friday afternoon, with wheat and corn higher and soybean sharply lower. Dry soil conditions in some areas of the U.S. and Russia supported stronger wheat futures. Technical selling and sharply lower soybean meal futures weakened soybean values. In central Illinois, kinder grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 9 to 11 cents stronger at 654 to 675, but soybeans dropped 28 to 29 cents at 1386 to $14. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 9 cents at 667 to 686. Soybeans dropped 33 to 36 cents at 1390 to 1412. And the cash wheat bids ended 39 to 40 cents higher at 677 to 697. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids mostly 9 to 10 higher, range from 667 to 673. Soybeans down 30 to 33 cents at $13.98 to $14 even. And the wheat prices closed 33 to 37 cents higher at 685 to 690. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted those producer corn bids 6 to 10 cents stronger at 672 to 679. Soybeans fell 35 to 38 cents at 1410 to 1415, while the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery ended 32 to 36 higher at 690 to 694. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 8 to 14 cents higher at 690 to 691. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 35 cents, with quotations at 1429 to 1432. Soft red winter wheat gained 36 cents at 710 to 711, while the Milo ended 10 cents stronger at 602 to 603. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, June hogs closed at 87.42 unchanged. July hogs closed at 88.57, down 17. August hogs closed at 88.90, down 60. June cattle Friday closed at 119.52, up 160. August cattle closed at 121.92, up 187. October cattle closed at 126.30, up 135. May feeder cattle Friday closed at 151.30, up 67. August feeders closed at 160.70, up 77. September feeders closed at 161.72, up 55. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The midday livestock reports for Friday, May 18th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, they leader togs, barrels, and gilts closed 78 cents lower. Carcass-based price range 76 to 82.43, weighted average of 78.65. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 11,900. Illinois Dirks Barrel and Gilt trade was steady, 53 to 57, and Illinois Dirks Slaughter South steady to firm. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds, 41 to 44. 450 to 550 pounds of 43 to 48, over 550 pounds of 46 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 500. Thursday's actuals, 525, and for the week, 3,962 head. Pork carcass cut out, 81.48, that is down $1.20. The estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs on Friday, 408,000, Saturday, 66,000, week to date of 2,116,000, year to date of 42,522,000. Cattle on Friday, 127,000. Saturday, 9,000, week-to-date of 641,000, and year-to-date of 12,212,000. Box beef cut-out values were firm to higher on moderate demand and light-to-moderate offerings. Total movement today, 135 fabulous and 45 trim. Choice, $192.51, that is up $1.41. Select at $186.56, and that is up 73 cents. There was a special feeder cattle sale at the Fairview Livestock Auction on Thursday, 1,713 head sold. Trade was very active with very good demand, especially on the large load lot cattle that had at least two rounds of vaccinations. Feeder steers, large frame number ones, weighing 500 to 550 pounds, 191 to 193, which were fancy, 550 to 600 pounds at 168 to 176, fancy traded from 179 to 188.5. 600 to 650 pounds, 169.5 to 175, a load averaging 639 pounds, 177, which were fancy. 650 to 700 pounds, 158.75 to 161, which were fancy. 700 to 750 pounds, 145 to 150, fancy, 153.25. 750 to 800 pounds, sold from 142 to 151, which were fancy, and a load averaging 805 pounds, 151, fancy. Load averaging 882 pounds at 136.25, with a load averaging 890 pounds at 146.5, which are fancy. 900 to 950 pounds, 130 to 135, fancy, sold from 136 to 140. Load averaging 961 pounds, 142, fancy, and a load averaging 1,005 pounds at 129, which are fancy. Heifers, large frame number ones, weighing 400 to 500 pounds, sold at 160 to 166. Fancy, 180 to 193. 500 to 550 pounds, 161 to 170. 550 to 600 pounds, 164 to 170, which were fancy, with a 650 to 700 pounds selling at 147.75 to 180, 148 and a quarter. 700 to 750 pounds sold at 131 to 139. Fancy and value added at 142 to 150. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, so far negotiated cash trade is light on good demand in Kansas. Few early live sales, 123. Nebraska and the Western Corn Belt trade is light on good demand. Nebraska early live sales at 123.5 and dressed at 195. Western Corn Belt early live sales, a few at 123 with dressed at 195. Negotiated sales week to date of 23,500. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Friday for butter, 135.5 unchanged. For block cheese, 150 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 146 unchanged. The spot price Friday for Class 3 milk, $15.39. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.71. For June, $6.42. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.63, and for June, $6.34. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $13.96, and for June, $14. Wheat delivered to Scottville for May, $6.75. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $6.71, corn at Scottville, $6.63, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $13.96. Wheat at Scottville, $6.75. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. At 6:21, color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Cloudy skies across mid-Illinois for your Monday. Cooler temperatures, the high today in the upper 60s. We will have north winds gusting to 25 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight, low temperatures in the low 50s. And for tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-70s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, clear and warmer. Lows in the low 70s, highs in the low 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, north winds at 14 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. Our temperature, 57 degrees. WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Caulfield, overnight 2/10 of an inch of rain. 7/10 of an inch recorded by Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville. A trace of precipitation here at the Weather Center overnight. And once again, 57 degrees. Under cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
What's for dinner tonight? At Subway restaurants, get any two or more regular footlong subs for only $5 each every day after 4 p.m. and all day Sunday. Choose from favorites like the meatball marinara, Italian BMT, oven roasted chicken, and sweet onion chicken teriyaki. Just pick any two, three, four, or more regular footlong subs, and they're all yours for just $5 each every day after 4 p.m. and all day Sunday, but only for a limited time. Subway, eat fresh. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank and by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield. In our farm news on this Monday morning, the CME Group has confirmed it's now seeking to expand grain futures trading to 21 hours per day rather than 22 hours in response to concerns from grain industry groups. Under the new plan, trading would be halted for 3 hours each day from 2 until 5 Central Time. The prior plan only had a 2-hour break from 4 until 6 each afternoon Central Time. Todd Kemp of the National Grain and Feed Association says this is a better proposal and one they are supporting.
The 2 o'clock close time for electronic trading allows our members to close their books and perform their accounting and back office functions during the course of a normal business day. So it reduces the need for any additional personnel, for any additional overtime, really resolves some quality of life issues too for employees who will already have worked long days.
The new plan does not address the release of monthly USDA crop reports, although there has been talk trading would halt for an hour following the release at 7:30. Kemp says they will continue to work with the CME Group and the industry on a solution.
Ideally, markets would be closed when USDA reports are released. That would be our ultimate goal. If that's not achievable, perhaps there is possibility of implementing some sort of pause in trading around the release of those reports, give market participants the opportunity to access and review the data.
The plan could take effect on June 4th. Originally, the 22-hour schedule was planned to start today. Last Wednesday morning, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink, and we talked about the status of the area's forage crops.
Some farmers already are taking off their second cutting of alfalfa, for example, and other farmers have not taken off the first cutting. You know, obviously those that are what I would call professional alfalfa producers, you know, with livestock, you know, they're already taking their second cutting off, and some have sprayed for alfalfa weevil. I was in a couple of fields yesterday and used my sweep net, and I swept the alfalfa, and I found a lot of pea aphids. Pea aphids usually don't cause any problem. Wouldn't expect them to cause any problems this year. A few alfalfa weevil are still out there, and potato leafhopper are just kind of showing up a little bit. But again, most of our new alfalfa fields out there probably have some type of a leafhopper resistant variety out there, so usually don't cause much problem. But if you have alfalfa and don't have a leafhopper resistant variety out there, I can guarantee you, you know, you're going to at some point probably have to treat for potato leafhopper.
You mentioned a new alfalfa field. What do you mean by that?
You know, something that was just planted, you know, last fall or so. And again, when we in a new alfalfa field, sometimes, the recommendation is at some point to allow that plant to reach probably at least half bloom. Now, normally we talk about 10th bloom when we like to harvest alfalfa. But in a new field, a new seeding, say a seeding last fall, at some point during the following year, you need to leave that alfalfa plant go a little bit longer to build up some root reserves, to strengthen that root system. Because if you keep harvesting it at 10th bloom stage or whatever, that's going to you know, that's going to remove a lot of the root reserves and really weaken the plant. So at some point, and maybe this is true, the fields that I have seen, maybe they are fairly newly seeded, and maybe that's the intent of the producer to allow it to go a little bit more mature to build up the root reserves. But, you know, we need to, you know, that's a crop that we want to keep, you know, for at least 4 years, probably 6 years, some even longer than that. So we really want to make sure that we're building up the adequate root reserves in that plant to carry it that many years.
When you leave, you have an alfalfa stand and you leave it for about 4 or 6 years, and then you want to, I mean, for lack of a better term, let the ground rest for a year. Is there some other kind of a crop you sow in there? Or?
Well, normally, you know, you don't want to plant alfalfa after alfalfa because there's an allelopathic effect that can occur, you know, self-toxicity, if you want to call it that. So, you know, many times, you know, get it out of alfalfa production for at least a year. You know, come in with, you know, a corn crop is excellent following alfalfa because you got a lot of nitrogen there. and to utilize that nitrogen from the old alfalfa stand. It's a good way to provide nitrogen for the following corn crop or just any other crop, just to get it out of alfalfa production for at least a year to avoid that allelopathic response that it has. So that's very important. I've seen this. Sometimes, you know, farmers like to thicken up an old alfalfa stand. They might want to seed some red clover in it or something, but that's only good for a year. You know, red clover is only a biennial, which means it only grows 2 years. But, you know, you don't want to rely on that for many years. But you can carry it for a year or so. But after that, then get it out of alfalfa production for at least a year.
Okay. They used to have, when I worked the old elevator, what they called a plow down. I don't know if that's necessarily for a forage crop. I think it might be for row crop or a corn crop, too.
Well, that's a good point. You know, after they take off the first cutting, an alfalfa first cutting, you know, alfalfa really feeds heavily on phosphorus and especially potassium. And after the first cutting comes off or sometime during the growing year when there's not any danger in rutting up the field or whatever, you need to apply at least 10 pounds of P2O5 and at least 60 pounds of K2O, which is 100 pounds of potash, per ton of alfalfa that you're removing. So, you know, it feeds really heavily on phosphorus and particularly potash. So sometime during the growing season, if you want to keep the crop, you know, you need to, you know, put back the nutrients into that field, into that crop, because you're taking off a lot of nutrients, you know, at least 4 tons. Some guys are taking off 8 ton per acre. So you can see, you know, at that removal rate, there's a tremendous amount of fertility that needs to be added back to that crop.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Last week, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to agronomist Kelly Bassett of Pioneer. They discussed the condition of the Illinois corn crop.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. We're talking today with Pioneer agronomist Kelly Bassett. Central Illinois, basically your coverage area, pretty wide part of the state. And you have told us, Kelly, that you've been getting some calls on purple corn. Can you tell us more?
Getting a couple of calls in the last week about corn that seems to be showing up as purple. And I know producers may have been concerned about this, but from the standpoint that we're looking at, I think most of what we're seeing is just genetic purpling and not a result of any issue in the field. And that purple seedling color often results when the expression of some temperature-sensitive genes for what we call the anthocyanin pigment form. And that usually is a result of when we have conditions such as daytime temperatures in the 60s and nighttime temperatures in the 40s, and that will trigger that purpling. The fields that we're looking at showing this will normally outgrow that by the time they're about 12 inches tall, and that coloration will disappear and the crop will resume its normal growth and color of green. However, as we start to pick up GDUs and the crop is growing more quickly, that's going to recover and not show up as purple anymore. One thing to consider, however, if you're seeing spots across a field and not more of a general color across, you may investigate more to make sure that there is no other condition as far as soil issues or soil fertility concern for the field, because there can be other things that trigger purpling, as well as some herbicide issues as far as carryover or misapplication. But I think a large part of the comments and questions I'm getting across the geography are a result of some of what we call genetic purpling. And as we go into these next few days with good weather, I don't think it's going to continue. We're going to see the plant resume normal coloration.
Also, some nitrogen side dressing going on.
For the crop that's been in the ground for quite a while, we're really getting to that key time for side dress application, because before we get to that V6 time frame, the crop's really only going to take up about 10% of its total nitrogen. And then as we move later in the season, we need to make sure that we've supplied the crop. So as it takes up that big chunk or 70 to 80% to be available, a couple of considerations for side dress applications right now. We've had areas across the state that have been particularly saturated and the conditions were very warm. So I would recommend for producers to consider if they've lost any of their nitrogen because of those conditions. When you look at how much can be lost, if temperatures are in the 65 to 75 degree range, you can lose up to 4 to 5% of your nitrogen that's in the nitrate form during that time frame. We did have some of that, and I would recommend producers make an adjustment for their total rate if they've had excess water I know that's not the case for most of the state or the northern part that may be looking for moisture at this point, but certainly for areas to the south that hold water and had ponding or flooding, that might be a consideration.
Pioneer agronomist Kelly Bassett. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Right now, we'll update the hog markets. We join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
It was a very good week for the hog markets. Prices for hogs delivered to the plants on a carcass basis, right around $80 per hundredweight, up $4 compared to a week ago. Direct hogs at the terminal markets in the mid-50s on a live weight basis, also about $4 higher than a year ago. But part of that was due to higher cutout value. Pork cutout late in the week, $82.68 per hundredweight, up $2.56 from the week before. Future market also moved higher this week, $2 to $4 gains on futures contracts, so a very good week. Retail pork prices came out for the month of April, $3.459 a pound on average in grocery stores across the country. That was down 3 cents from the month before, which is a little bit worrisome because normally April prices are higher than March, but it was up 8 cents from April a year ago, so positive news there. Weights continue to be heavy. Iowa, Minnesota live weights of bears and gelts, 276.7 pounds last week, up 5.7 pounds from a year ago. That's the 25th consecutive week weights have been heavier than a year ago. And it looks like hog slaughter this week's going to come in about 4% higher than a year ago. That's the fourth consecutive week with more hogs slaughtered than what was expected based upon USDA's hog and pig report.
And that was Dr. Ron Plain, livestock economist from the University of Missouri. Once again, corn futures are trading higher on the electronic session as of 6 o'clock. Soybean futures higher, wheat lower. The overnight crude oil market, 31 cents higher at 91.79. Brent crude, 62 cents higher at 107.76. And the June gold contract, 70 cents lower at $1,591.20. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Our opening commodity market report this morning at 9:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank.